Good morning, church. Have a happy Sabbath today. I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew 28, and we're going to read 19 and 20 verses. And it's a real privilege to repeat what the Lord said when he actually mouthed these words to his disciples. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Amen.
As far as possible, let's kneel as we pray to the Lord. Father, we come to you on this, the Sabbath day that you made for us. You knew that we needed this time to spend with you, to remember you, and to worship you. And we have joined together today to do that, Lord. We look at the world around us, especially this time of year, and we see the new growth that's coming out of the ground. The trees are starting to bud. It reminds us that very soon we're going to see this world made new. Your coming is very close, Lord, and we want to be ready. And Lord, we pray that each one of us will cleanse our hearts of the things that have separated us from you. We've had some trials this week, Lord. There are some that have been sick. There are others that have been discouraged. Some that aren't here today, Lord, we just pray that you will be with each one. Whatever their problems, whatever their concerns, you know them, Lord. And we lift them up to you and ask you to answer them according to your will. We pray that you'll be with Heather as she speaks to us today. And as we leave here, may we be a blessing to those that we meet through the rest of this week. May they see God reflected in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name, and your will be done. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan and Caleb. I love that song. I want to start by kind of sidetracking because Brianna reminded me of this right before today, right before I got up here. Today is actually kind of like a anniversary or a birthday for us. It is the 6-year anniversary of when we were baptized, and so it's kind of exciting for us. Just a little sidetrack. But I absolutely love this weather. This Sabbath is beautiful. I love this weather. I think God is blessing us with spring because winter was cold and long. I guess I'll start out with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the anniversary of Brandon and I getting baptized. And thank you for all of your love and blessings that you've given to us, including the beautiful weather and just your amazing love and all that you've done for us. Please help me in giving this sermon and help me to not be super utterly nervous the entire time. And please help me to speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age." I just wanted to start off by saying that since this church, Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church, has been taking the initiative to pray without ceasing, I have noticed a change in this church. I love the prayer groups. Prayer is such a powerful thing. This church has become almost brighter, happier, more cheerful, and more welcoming since you guys have begun praying. This may just be me thinking out loud, but I think it may actually have something to do with the Holy Spirit. God also promises, that when we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us, he will help us. God also promises that when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we will be witnesses for him. Now please turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1:8. What happens when we read this verse? We recognize the parts of the verse where Jesus is telling us that we shall gain a power that only God can work through us, a power to move mountains. We realize that we are to make disciples, become disciples ourselves, and reach to those who do not yet know Christ. The one thing I think we tend to forget as a comfortable American church is exactly where he's calling us to go. When Jesus is asking us to go, he isn't necessarily telling us to go on a missionary trip to Mexico or on a medical trip to Haiti after the earthquake. While these things are very important and necessary to God's cause, not all of us are able to reach those third world countries, or maybe we want to and are willing to go, but may not have the means. Maybe you aren't in your prime anymore. You're aging and unable to do the things you once could for Christ. Maybe you're young, like me, and feel that you don't know enough, aren't smart enough, or just can't talk to people. Or maybe you just don't have enough money. All these things are very valid reasons to not go to a foreign place. Let me tell you this. If God wants you to go on a missionary trip and you are willing, it will happen. But if this miraculous thing, the miraculous money or strength or any type of miraculous ability hasn't come yet, don't lose hope or think that God doesn't have a plan for you. I believe that if a miracle hasn't come yet, then God wants it exactly that way, for you to stay right here in Medford, Oregon. I believe this because God promises to take control of our lives if we ask him to, and he will deliver us to what he wants us to do. In Acts 1:8, God says, "And ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." When we read this verse, do we sometimes forget that we need to be witnesses, not to those in a different time zone, but to those right here, the ones already in our lives? When the disciples were told to be witnesses, they were told to be witnesses in Jerusalem first, where they lived. Then they were told to go to the rest of the world. In this partnership with the Holy Spirit that this church is embarking upon, you are waiting to hear your calling, when maybe your calling is right here in front of you. Recently, I was listening to a sermon that a friend sent me. The pastor was telling a story about one of his members of his congregation. This member was a millionaire, and helped immensely by helping to finance his church and his church's mission. One day, the member came up to his pastor and said, "Pastor, I want to do more for Christ, but I don't know what to do other than to continue giving what God has blessed me with." His pastor told him, "You can do more. You can do more by reaching your neighbors. I cannot reach your millionaire neighbors. Only you can do that." The member then proceeded to say something that should worry us. "Those people don't need God." This is something that has become sort of a problem in our current society. While we as a church may know that what this member said is false, and that it is nothing but a lie that the devil has told this world since Adam and Eve, the sad reality is many people believe this horrifying lie to be true. They think they don't need God. They may acknowledge God's existence, or even come to church. But in today's comfortable lifestyle, they may be content with how their lives are going. The sad truth is, when this earth starts to crumble, and the wrath of Satan reaches its full capacity because he knows his days here on earth are numbered, We all know that saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole. But we don't want it to come to that point, do we? We want to bring the light of Christ into the lives of our friends, co-workers, brothers, sisters, parents, bullies, those who have committed crimes against us, and everyone in this world that we can reach. We want to bring them to Christ before their time is up, before it's too late. The pastor was right in the story he told about his wealthy church member. That pastor couldn't reach into the lives of his members' neighbors. Only his member could do that, and he did. This wealthy member prayed for half an hour every day for his neighbors, solely for his neighbors. He then prayed 2 hours every day for his neighbors after about 2 months. Soon he was inviting them to his house to fellowship with them. He was inviting them to eat and play games with him. He was building friendships with these people. Soon his neighbors noticed that this man, this member, was different from the rest of them. They began to ask him about his faith. And soon that church was filled with 40 millionaires and their families. Maybe there is something that happened in your life, some trial that caused you to start questioning God. Maybe it was your cancer, your sickness, a mental issue you're working through. Maybe it was a bullying, abuse by a parent or a significant other. Maybe it is in the past for you, or maybe that hurt is happening right now. If you would please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 5:18, sorry. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all things, because maybe, just maybe, your trial or tribulation is a blessing in disguise. Maybe it was a way of crafting you into the exact person God needs you to be today. Now, I'm definitely not saying that God is putting bad things into your lives. Instead, let's turn to Romans 8:28. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Is there somebody in your life right now that only you can reach? A purpose that God has specifically crafted only for you to fulfill? You may not be a millionaire living in a wealthy neighborhood among the top 1%, but I'm guessing that there is something in your life, a trial or a blessing, that has crafted you to be the person that God has created to reach that friend, coworker, or neighbor. A coworker that has cancer, a friend who went through abuse, a young girl who you teach that is being affected by the bullies in her class. Is there somebody here in Medford, Oregon that only you can reach? After receiving the Holy Spirit, the next thing the disciples did was tell everyone they could, and even those they thought they couldn't tell, those who spoke a different language, understood what they were saying and accepted Christ, because a silly little language barrier isn't a problem for God. God will bring this person into your life, and he will tell you what you need to say to that person. All you need to do is accept his mission for you. Don't you want to be a part of God's mission? I believe that the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church is ready and willing to accept his mission. Let's go back to Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age." After Jesus' first command of go, Jesus says, "Make disciples." First, we are to go form relationships with these people. But after that, we need to make disciples. Planting a seed is great. But what happens to that seed if it is not watered and given proper sunshine so that it may grow? The seed dies. After planting the seed, we need to care for it. Encourage our friends to search deeper, to long for the Holy Spirit just like we do. When Jesus was making disciples of his chosen 12, how did he do it? Firstly, and most importantly, he loved them. He was patient and kind. He was gentle and friendly. He walked with them in their search for the truth, encouraging them where they were and helping them to reach the full potential that he knew they were going to reach through the Holy Spirit. He taught them gently and in a way that they understood. His ministry on earth was through loving people. By encouraging this seed to grow, we are making disciples. More importantly, we are reaching those many think have everything, the comfortable Americans. We are reaching those that God has placed in our lives to reach. I believe that this church will grow, because when prayer and want for the Holy Spirit enter a church, the members can't hold in their excitement. People will want to know what makes all of you so happy in the joy and knowledge of your salvation in Jesus Christ. In the final part of Matthew 28:20, it says, "And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." We can plant the seeds and care for them. We can water them and teach them. We can do everything in our power to make that seed grow. But without the sunlight, without light, that seed won't grow. That seed won't prosper, and that seed certainly won't bear fruit. However, we have a promise that our true light, the Holy Spirit, the fire that lives inside us and burns in us for Christ, that light promises to be with us even to the end of the age. Remember, God has a specific purpose for you, a purpose he has been crafting you to fulfill before you were born. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Let us claim this promise today and go and make disciples. Let us go and make disciples of all nations. But first, let us go to our neighbors. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all of your blessings, and thank you for promising to be with us, to be our light, to grow the seeds that we're planting. We can plant the seeds, but only you can grow them, because we're not the light. The Holy Spirit is. Jesus, you are our light. You are the one that will plant, that will grow our seeds and will help grow this church and will help grow your fields. Thank you for everything that you've given to us. Thank you for loving us. And please be with this church as they make disciples for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's time for our offering. Our offering today is for our